Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
And open them to the book of Acts.
Acts, the first chapter. Acts chapter 1. We have been studying under this topic, why church? We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us online today are believers, but not all. But we are all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. We have been studying why church. Why do we need a church? Well, the first week we looked at what is a church. Well, it's a gathered community of faith. We gather together in a community of faith. When we gather, what do? We say to our people, here's what you can expect to be a part of this church. Worship with us, number one. Study with us or live in community with us as we study God's word. That's number two. And the third thing is minister alongside of us. So every member of our church ought to be involved worshiping. They ought to be involved studying God's word together and learning what it means to go out and share the gospel and be the believer that God's called us to be. Then minister alongside of us. We need a ministry. Everyone needs to have a place because you are a part of the body of Christ. So we studied that in the first week, a gathered community of faith. Then we looked at the ordinances. What are the ordinances of the church? The reason we call them ordinances is because they were ordained by Jesus, all right? There are two ordinances in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We talked a long time about that. Then last week we talked about church government, and or some people call it church polity, how we are organized, who has the authority in the church. We talked about membership, what it means to be a member of our church and the importance of that. We talked about the leadership of the church and how we are to follow in those ways with a pastor and with those that lead and then with deacons as well. We talked about who has the authority, and we concluded and realized that the New Testament pattern is for a church to be an autonomous local church. So we believe in what is called congregational rule. One of the things that we have looked at is the idea that we need one another. The scripture says in Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, but individually members one of another. There's no such thing as a lone ranger Christian. Christians need one another. Amen, church? We need one another. We encourage one another. Listen, when you're off by yourself, you have no accountability. It's real easy to say, well, you know, I know what's right for me, and I'm going to interpret everything the way I want to interpret. I don't believe that church over there is right. I don't believe that church over there is right. So I'm just going to do my own thing. The problem with that is you have set yourself up as the accountable. There's no one to hold you accountable in that way. You show no teachability when you live that way. Well, one guy says, well, I want to find the perfect church. I just haven't found it. Well, if you find it, they say, don't join it. Because you will make it imperfect. Let me tell you something about our church. Can I give you some unbelievable, amazing information that's never been shared? You ready? We're not perfect. We're made up. We're really a church. Is a hospital for sinners. It's a place where God's people get together and they love one another, they challenge one another, they teach one another, and they care for one another. It is a gathered community of faith. One guy said, well, I know you won't find a perfect church, but I'm telling you, I am going to have a pure church because I believe that, man, if you're not living right, you can't be in this church. And so two pastors were talking. The one guy said, this church is going to be pure. And so both of them had pretty good churches, you know. And so that guy kept at it. And one day the other guy said to him, well, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing real good. I got it down to about four people. He said, we're doing great. Hey, listen, can I tell you this? We do need to strive that we follow, are you ready for this? We follow this book. Amen? We follow this book. But the truth of the matter is we are doing everything we know to do because we have people at every level of spiritual growth. And so we're learning about why church. Why do you need a church? The importance of a church. Now, today, I'd like to talk about the idea of the purpose of the church. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there's a powerful passage of Scripture. Jesus had resurrected from the dead. He had told his disciples to stay put until the Holy Spirit comes. And he says this to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So here's purpose number one. Write this down, all right? Get out your lipstick, your mascara, whatever you want to write with, all right? And I want you to write this down. Number one is evangelism. Evangelism. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, we are given what is called the Great Commission. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, look, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is not optional. When Jesus Christ had his disciples on the earth, when they were following Jesus, they were to follow his commandments. As a matter of fact, Jesus in John 14 and verses 15 through 21, I won't read it all, these are some passages that Jesus said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, church family, Jesus has said to us as a church, you shall be my witnesses. We are to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And if we do not do this, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. So if we're not doing that, we're not loving Jesus. He says later on in verse 21, this is John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So this command is not optional. But here's the good news. We're not alone when we follow this command. He has given us the authority to do it. You say, well, I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not to be arrogant and ugly about the gospel. But I do want you to know that Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. You go there and make disciples of all nations. So we have authority from the Lord to be evangelistic and to share Jesus Christ in love and to let people know of the love of Jesus Christ and what he has, the claim that he has upon their life. But also we have his presence. He says at the end of that Great Commission, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, number 2, and Samaria, number 3, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Theologians and Bible scholars and pastors and people in the church have wrestled with that passage and tried to understand exactly what he means. Well, Jerusalem, those are people that were right there. Folks, we have an obligation to witness to people that are right here. You say, what do you mean? I mean right in our sphere of influence, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, people at the University of Florida, the people in this community, the people that are our neighbors. We have an obligation to preach to them and to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is Jerusalem. People who are right there of the same customs. Now, we do this primarily through our relationships and our local ministries here. You see a board here, Who's Your One? Our church family got started on this right before COVID, and COVID has kind of shut us down a little bit in the sense of when the momentum of that. But what we did is we said, who's somebody in your world that you're praying for that you want to share Jesus Christ with? And our people put it on those little balls, the names of people on the white balls, the names of people they were praying for. And then when they shared the gospel, a little green ball went in there. A yellow ball went in when they shared the gospel. And then when someone came to know Jesus, a green ball went in there. It's just a visual illustration that the way we share in Jerusalem, the way we do that primarily, now we preach the gospel in here. If somebody comes, I think the gospel should be preached in the pulpit. Amen? And I think if somebody comes in here and says, "Boy, I really would like to be saved," I hope we have a way they can be saved and give their life to Christ. But primarily, we meet in here as believers to equip people to go out of here and to share Christ in our Jerusalem. And then it says in Judea. These were people in that general region but could not get to that one place in Jerusalem. And so many times churches were planted outside of Jerusalem, but in that area of Judea. In many ways, this represents the state of Florida for me. I think about the state of Florida. We can't be everywhere in the state of Florida. Of course, anybody in the state of Florida wants to come here, anybody in South Georgia wants to come here, they can come. We're thankful. I marvel at how far people will go sometimes to be a part of a church, but that's a blessing. But we know that all those people can't do that. So what do? We cooperate with other churches in reaching Judea or Florida or our region that we can't touch their lives. We do this through church planting, all right? We think about the Hudsons, Andrew and Alexa. They have gone, now they've gone farther than Florida. They have gone to California. They're right out of our church. Our church is helping to for them to plant that church on that college campus in San Diego. They're right out of our church. We're helping them because we want to be a part of the gospel going to places not just in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria. Samaria was a place that was difficult for the Jews to love. The Samaritans were not people that were naturally attracted to the Jews, and the Jews were not naturally attracted to the Samaritans. And so therefore Jesus said, because you're not naturally attracted to them, you don't have to witness to them. Is that what he said? No, he said Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria specifically. So this represents anyone that's not just like us. Anyone that we can minister to and love and get the gospel to them. He took the gospel to the people that were the most difficult to love. Also those that were very far away. All right? And we do this in our ministry here, really through church planting, cooperating with our Florida Baptist State Convention, our North America Mission Board, and the church planting that is done. And so as God leads our disciples here to be called out to be involved in church planting, like Andrew and Alexa, then we are behind them all the way in reaching this our country, okay? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But then it says, to the uttermost. This is the whole world. Now, folks, you're saying to me that it is our responsibility at North Central that we reach the entire world for Jesus? Yes, it is. It is our responsibility as a body of Christ, as a church, North Central Baptist Church, to everything we can do, cooperating with others to touch peoples of the world that have never heard the gospel, people that need to know about Jesus. Folks, we've come to know Christ. Man, I tell you, I got saved as a teenage boy. I came to North Central as a college student. I came to UF as a college student. When I got here, I had people here that loved me, people that cared about me. They taught me the Bible. And I learned that it wasn't just in my home place that people cared about me and cared about Jesus and cared about the Bible, but it was here at UF. And I've got news for you. This church, my church at home, this church here, every church ought to have a vision for how they can touch the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the uttermost. Now, I wanted to tell you that one of the ways we do this, because many of you are new to the way we do things in the Baptist world, which is fine. I just want you to know how exciting it is. We cooperate with something we call the cooperative program, and our church is able to give to our Southern Baptist missions efforts around the world. And so there are many, many missionaries, Some of them right out of our church. They're on that board right here in this room. If you look up on that board, there are many of those that are International Mission Board missionaries all over the world, and we give to them. Now, we pray in prayer, support, and in other ways support those right out of our church, but we're also a part of a worldwide effort to get the gospel to people in the uttermost, okay? We have people that are serving in Malaysia. We've had people in Indonesia. We have people in Brazil, people with our board. We've got people that serve at the board that are helping with that we're out of our church. Our Central Asia partnership, our own mission efforts. We're going to talk about this next Sunday night. We're going to have it in our interactive missions expo. But we've recently sent teams to Cuba and to Central Asia. We've got a Malawi team about to go. John and Molly are going to be here next week. They've had to move back to the panhandle until they get ready. Everything's been approved, and they're about to go. We're going to pray over them next Sunday morning. Don't miss that. Don't miss being here next Sunday morning, and then they'll be a part of our missions expo on Sunday night. But our Malawi mission partners. And then we reach internationally, even right here through our partnership with Global Connections and Brother Craig and Carlene and what they're doing, and Zach and others that are reaching internationals right here in our community, our own international ministry with Conversational English. All of this is done to make a difference in the world, to make a difference in the uttermost. So, church family, one of the main purposes of the local church is what? Evangelism, all right? Let's say that together. One of the purposes of the local church is what? Evangelism. And we do that in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. There's probably better ways we could do it. We're always looking to make it more effective in each of those areas. But this is our goal. This is our desire. One of the things that Lord has always given us a ministry with college students. I mentioned that I went to North Central when I was a student at UF, and I'm so thankful for these students that are here. Listen, we have started a ministry residency program for college graduates that feel called to go into missions or called to go into ministry in a full-time way. So we bring them on our staff. They partner with our campus ministry at UF, and then they give us some hours right here at North Central in reaching out. And so there are six of those. We got two new ones that are beginning. So real quickly, I just want them to stand when I call their name. Mitchell Shedd, would you stand? Mitchell, all right, Mitchell, yeah. Mitchell is married to Bridget. He is serving his area of ministry through our church is in our college ministry here. He's also a ministry partner with our BCM, and he's married to Bridget, does a great job, originally from Clearwater, Florida. Thank you, Mitchell. All right. Adam Setzer. Adam, would you stand? Adam is brand new as a ministry resident. Now, church family, this is something that we are doing as a church to create a leadership, as best we understand, and I don't know if this is the right term for it, but almost like a leadership pipeline for these students hungry to serve Jesus around the world. Some of them may become pastors, youth pastors. They may become go into collegiate work. They may be missionaries overseas. We ask them, they are involved in seminary training while they're a part of this program, so they're getting their seminary done as well. Adam is originally from Clearwater, and Adam is he's brand new starting with us as a ministry resident. He is going to be our creative content manager. Now listen, I need some creative content. So Adam, I need you to help me, man. But he's going to help us with a lot of things as we're involved in social media and things like that. This is his expertise. This is what he studied in college. So we're very thankful for that. God is working in his life. He just got back from Central Asia and may end up heading there as a ministry for full time down the road. Megan Williams. Where's Megan? Right here. We know Megan. All right. Megan has been a ministry resident for us and has been involved in missions. Her assignment with us was to get our church aware of the ways that we're impacting the world in missions. Well, Megan, Megan has distinguished herself in such a way. She volunteered working in our children, preschool work and everything. When we had the recent opening as our in our children's ministry, we went to Megan and said, Megan, would you consider being our children's director? So we've graduated her from being a resident to our children's director, all right? Wonderful, Megan. We're thankful for you, all right? Sierra Price. Sierra's brand new. Sierra's brand new. Sierra is from Lake Mary, Florida. She majored in agriculture at UF, feels God's call to full-time ministry. She's discipling students at the University of Florida and is working in our college ministry. She's brand new in our residency program. Sierra, we're so glad you're a part of our team, all right? Stephen Moeller. Stephen Moeller. Stephen graduated. All of these young people have graduated from UF, so they have finished their college degree, and now they're pursuing ministry. Stephen is married to Valerie. He was our very first resident. He launched the whole thing for us, and so we're so thankful for him. He has really had the title initially of campus missionary. We sent him to UF to be a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ under the leadership of North Central Baptist Church, and so we're thankful for Stephen. God's working in his life, and God's used him in a powerful way, discipling. He has a major in linguistics and teaching English as a second language. So God's hand has been on him in relating to other cultures of the world. So, Stephen, we're thankful for you. And then Jana Josaphat. Where's Jana? All right. Jana's right here. All right. Jana is from Jacksonville. I'm partial to Jana. I just want you to know that. She's from Jacksonville. All right. She's graduated from UF. She's working on our campus in the campus ministry, but her assignment is to really do what Megan was doing when Megan was our missions resident. So now Jana is going to take that position. Now, can I tell you something? As your pastor, I just want to say this to the church family. I don't know of anything that excites me any more than to see these young people who have graduated from UF feel called to ministry to come on our staff and us to mentor them, be loved by you, be encouraged by you, and then to see their leadership skills blossom as they reach the University of Florida campus, and then as they also help us in these specific areas here on our church staff. The residency program is basically a two-year program, so we're always adding new people to it. But these are our residents that'll be a part of our team here for this year. Could we just give them a big round of applause? We're so proud of them, so excited about that. Now, quickly, I want to say this. This is a part of evangelism. We're praying that we multiply ourselves through their lives. And we've done that before. This church has had a history of that. Students, recently I was talking to Tim Webel. Tim Webel was a college student right here. Some of y'all could nod your heads and say, yeah, I know Tim. I taught him in Sunday school. He was a part of our group here. He and his sweet family are IMB missionaries overseas. Well, he was a student here. So this has been the pattern of our church to do things like that. Now, in the midst of all of our evangelism, one of the things that we do to give us credibility as a church, any church should do this. It's not just us. This is what the New Testament teaches. We have a ministry of mercy in the local church. You know, Galatians 6:10 says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I think about those believers in Afghanistan. We ought to do what we can do to help them. We ought to do what we could do to all the people of Afghanistan, to all people, as best we can. What does the scripture say in Matthew 6:10? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. The lordship and sovereignty of Jesus in heaven ought to be brought down to this earth by you. You know what that means? That means that everybody you know in this world, their life ought to be better off because they know you. That means that they ought to, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, there's a lot to be disagreeing about right now. But whether you agree with them or disagree, they know that you have their, that you care about them ultimately. And we should do good to those. There's a ministry of mercy. I think about Operation Christmas Child. We participate in that every year. I think about people in our church that have gotten involved in fostering. People have done that. They've gotten involved in fostering. And I wish we need more of our people to be involved. What an incredible need there is in this area with children. Fighting for the unborn and for children. These are things we do that are ministries of mercy. Jesus did good. He cared about the problems of evil and suffering. What did Jesus do? He brought healing to people. He didn't say, "Oh, you're a Jew, you're a Pharisee, you're one of me, so there's I'm going to help you, but I won't help them." No. Jesus helped people. He cared about the problems of evil. I think about when we went into this COVID. You know what you guys did? When COVID happened back in March of last year, it was just natural. It just happened naturally. Y'all started calling one another. Before I knew it, people were dropping off food at people's houses. Our senior adults, I would call them. They'd say, "Well, somebody brought me groceries. They're bringing groceries." We had somebody call us and they said, "Hey, I'm buying a bunch of chickens." I said, "You're doing what?" They said, "I'm buying a bunch of chickens and I'm bringing them to the church." I said, "Man, I don't even know if we've got room up there." This was back when we were all nervous about even, you remember when this thing first happened, we were almost like we didn't even want to, we were just so isolated. So we were trying to figure out how to, with sanitation, hand people a chicken. We were saying, "Well, you come up, call the church, we'll know you're out there. We'll go set it on something. Then we'll run back inside, and then you run out there and get it." Finally, we got tired of that, and they drove up, and we just handed them a chicken. But somebody bought a bunch of chickens. So I'm on the phone calling people. "You need any chicken?" Hey, but that, you know what that was? That's mercy. That's loving people. That's what Jesus did. Jesus cared about it. I think about that. I think about our ministry with Created Gainesville. That's an organization here that is trying to stop the exploitation of young women and sex trafficking that's happening in our own community. We've just gotten started with them. I think about our people going to St. Francis House and serving meals. I think about our people that have been to Grace Marketplace. I remember one of our Sunday school classes, and I joined them, and they went to Grace Marketplace right there by Dignity Village, where a lot of homeless people were gathered, and they brought blessings to them, and they encouraged them, and they shared Christ, and they shared the love of Christ. I think about missions locally through our association. I think about our Orange Bucket Sunday. You brought so much food, and every year that organization they're so marvel at how much food you bring. Why? Because that food is for the kids of our community. It's for elementary kids in our Alachua County school system that need food. They need bags of food to be taken home in the summer and on the weekend so that they'll have the nourishment that they need. I think about disaster relief. We do this through our Florida Baptist Convention. And some of our teams, Patrick and others, have been on teams that have gone to places where there's been hurricanes, and they've taken their saws and they've cut trees and everything. We need to do more of that. We need more of that. But our church has been a part of that. You know, James, in the book of James, in the epistles, he says to show partiality is wrong. He says if someone comes in here dressed in fine clothes like Robert today, you know, and then somebody comes in and I say, "Oh, this man's really dressed up. He must have a lot of money. Give him a really good seat." And then someone else comes in that doesn't look so nice. And I say, "Hey, you sit back here. We got you a spot right back here in the back behind a partition." James says, "You are a phony when you live that way." James says, I will not put up with it. Matter of fact, disciples came almost to fists. Well, that would have been something to have seen Peter and the Apostle Paul in a fight. Peter was a big dude, man. But I tell you, Paul was scrappy. Paul may have taken him. He probably would have got him in a headlock or something. I don't know. But some of our own disciples were rebuked. Why? Because they showed partiality. Folks, the bottom line is we are to, our ministry is a ministry of mercy as well. And it gives credibility to our evangelism when we love people. Amen? So I want you to know, number one, purpose of the church is what? Evangelism, all right? Number two, write this down, spiritual growth. I've got to hurry. Spiritual growth for believers. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, the word perfect in the New Testament doesn't mean perfect like perfection. It means complete. So you know what our goal is here? Our goal is to build complete disciples. Would y'all grow up? Would y'all become complete? You know, we got people on every level. I'm probably the one that needs to grow up the most, the honest truth. But the bottom line is, that is our goal. Our goal is that there's spiritual growth taking place. I heard this years ago, and it always encouraged me. They said, Calvin, it's not so much where you are, but it's the direction you're headed that God's interested in. Which way are you headed? Are you growing? Are you growing in your spiritual life? We do this through Bible teaching. But you know, we must grow the people we win. Ladies and gentlemen, we must grow the believers that come to know Christ. Amen? We must do that. By the way, do you know that on the day of Pentecost, how many people were saved? Who knows the answer? Okay? 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost, all right? That's right. Do you know that if we had the day of Pentecost every day, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? 3,000 people saved every day. Do you know that it would take between 5,000 and 6,000 years to win the world to Christ? That's a long time. Hey, let's just imagine, not Pentecost, not 3,000. Let's imagine that 10,000 people got saved every day around the world. It would still take 1,500 years. But do you know that if you just went out and won two people to Christ this next year, and you got them to the point that they knew how to win and disciple two other people? So at the end of the first year, you'd have three disciples. You've had the person that won them to Christ, and then those two extra, so you'd have three people that were believers that knew how to share Christ and how to disciple somebody. At the end of the second year, if all three of them went and got two more, so that means we'd have three groups of three. That'd be nine. After 3 years, that'd be 27. After 4 years, that'd be 81, and on and on. Do you know that if we did it that way, by growing people, spiritual growth, in 32 years we could win the whole world to Christ? You know why? Multiplication. What did Jesus do? Jesus poured into 12 men, and you know what they did? They scattered. They scattered and they changed the world with the gospel of Jesus. That's what we're hoping to do. That's what our prayer is for our young people here, our children. Why are we doing Awana this Wednesday? We're doing Awana because the gospel is the power of God. If we can get the gospel in those children, we don't know where they're going to all end up. We don't know. Moms and dads are praying, God, would you use them in a special way? Would you teach them right from wrong? And so we're pouring God's word into them, and God's word is powerful. And as a result of it, the gospel expands. And so we have to grow people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, we gather for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The word equipping means the mending of a net. It means the placing of a bone. It's a medical term, means to set a bone in place so that it can operate properly. We're here in worship today because part of what we're doing is to equip all of us to be believers that love Jesus and can share Christ in ministry, okay? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, in Ephesians 4 it says, for the edifying, the growth of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. There's that word again. It means complete. To a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here's all I would say to you. You need to grow. We all need to grow, okay? That's very, very important, all right? There's a lot more I could say about that. We do that through fellowship or koinonia. We do it through ministry one to another. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So we are to bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2 says. And that may involve challenging one another and spurring one another on to love and to good works. So we do that through fellowship, but we do it through teaching. Part of what I'm doing right now, hopefully, is equipping and encouraging and challenging. Maybe some toes are being stepped on right now. I don't know. The Holy Spirit can step on them better than I can. So I pray that even in this teaching and in our life groups, that's why you need to be in a life group. In the back, in the back of the, back here at my table, there's a little list of all of our life groups. I encourage you, if you're an attender here, to get involved in a Bible study. Get in a Bible study in your life stage and do life with the people there and study God's Word together. Also, something brand new that's in the back is a little card called My Next Step. You say, well, I know I need to do something. What are my next steps that I could take? Well, one of the things on here, I'd like to be a part of a team. We have teams of ministry around here. We've got the preschool team, the children's team, the youth team, the college team. We've got the worship and the tech team. We've got a women's ministry called The Gathering. We've got a men's ministry, an international ministry, a missions ministry. We've got greeters. There's a place for you to you may be thinking, you're hearing these messages about the church, and you're thinking, I need to get involved in a ministry. I need to not only worship with us, not only study with us, but minister alongside us. That's our passion. You say, what could I do? What team could I be on? Grab this little card in the back and fill it out and just lay it on that table. We'll take care of it. Somebody will call you, okay, and explain some of the ways that you could serve, all right? So all of that is to grow people, spiritual growth. And the truth is each person is gifted. I've already quoted Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. I said this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. I need you. I need you in my life. Now, the thing that may be harder for you to understand is you need me. And y'all need each other. The guy sitting beside you, the person three rows ahead of you, we're a part of a body, we're a part of a group of people, a community of faith gathered to worship the Lord. And so we need one another. All right, so the first purpose of the church is what? The second purpose of the church is what? All right, here's the third one quickly, worship. Worship. We are to glorify Him. In whatever you do in word or deed, do all for the what? The glory of God. We are to glorify the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. He's writing this to a church, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That pretty much covers it. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I've often said this, you can tell a lot about the spiritual growth of a church by the way it sings. The Christian faith is a singing faith. It is a worshiping faith. Man, sing your guts out. Now, if you can't sing too good, turn the volume down just a little bit. No, I'm kidding. No, sing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In all seriousness, folks, we should worship our Lord. He is worthy of our worship, all right? In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, so that So we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Worship was very common in the Old Testament. They gathered for worship. Notice also in the pictures of heaven in Revelation, what are they doing? They're worshiping. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Can I tell you this? God's people have always been a people that worship. So one of the purposes of the church is for us to worship. Robert's the maestro. Robert and the team. I kid him with that. He helps us. Him and our team, Michael and Kelly and our team, they are who we have asked to help us worship. Now, sometimes we're blessed when they perform and their team sings something that's a special. I love that. But I tell you what I really love, when they lead and help me worship the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus, who has changed our life. So God inhabits the praises of his people. So the bottom line, folks, we're going to be done. The bottom line is we got to remember what our purpose is. Number one, evangelism. Number two, spiritual growth. Number three, worship. Let's don't forget why we're here. Keith Green used to tell a story about a guy that's walking down the beach one day. And he looked out there and there's a guy out there going, "Help! Help!" And he rubbed his eyes and he looked at him and he said, "Man, sure enough, there's a guy caught in the undertow." And so he ran out there and he got this guy, and somehow, even with the undertow, a run out, he grabbed the guy and got him into shore, and the guy sat down on the beach. He goes, "Man, you saved my life." He said, "Well," he said, "I'm glad I heard you." And they were talking and they said, "Look, this is a really bad spot in the beach. There's a run out here." They said, "Let's meet back here tomorrow when the tide's the same, and let's see if it's the same." And they came back the next day, and sure enough, it was a bad run out, and it kind of had a pattern in that one spot at the beach. And so sure enough, those two guys were there, and there's somebody got caught in it. It was unknown. They didn't know it, and they were out there flailing around saying, "Help, help." And they ran and got the third guy, and they brought him in. And they sat down. They said, "Wow, this is very dangerous. We've got to come here every day when this tide's just like this, because people don't know it. They need to be saved." And so they'd come back. Well, their number grew as they saw people saved in the water. They would gather and they would all gather and they took shifts and different things. Finally, they said, "Man, it's so hot out here just waiting around for the tide to come." So they got them a little canopy. And they set up a canopy and they got a little table and they brought a cooler full of waters and things like that. And they were there, and sure enough, somebody would say, "Help, I'm out here." And they'd run out there and get them, and things got more elaborate. Finally, they said, somebody came by and said, "Boy, I've been really blessed in business and y'all saved me, so I'd like to give some money. Don't y'all need a better building?" And so they gave and they started raising money and they built a building. They said, "Hey, let's make it fun." So they put some ping pong tables in there. And they put in a nice refreshment place. And before long, they had a real pretty building. And everybody was inside having a great time. But nobody was out there in the water saving anybody else. And Keith Green, as only he could do, he said, "Church, in your effort to be comfortable, don't forget that one day somebody came out there and helped you find Jesus." And so, church family, as much as we love, praise God, we've got padded seats, we got AC, we're praying about putting some bathrooms back here in the back and a place to welcome people. But wouldn't it be a tragedy if we had just a beautiful building and we forgot that God put us here to rescue the perishing? Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.